Good morning, gentlemen, and today we are holding on Daf Mem Dalet, and we were at the bottom of Mem Gimel on the Beis, right at the story of Nechemya Bereda Rabbi Chaniloi, one-fifth of the way up again. So Nechemya Bereda Rabbi Chaniloi, Meshachtei Shemata, just what we said that people would imagine was happening when you were walking out to put your Erev, but nobody would know what you're going there for. Because after all, if you're Talmud Chacham, you probably just got so distracted by your learning, you wouldn't know where you were going. And that's exactly what happened to Nechemya Bereda Rabbi Chaniloi. There he was, walking calmly along on Shabbat, completely forgot that he was heading in the direction out of his tchum, and finds himself chutz l'tchum. Oy, 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 oy.
Somebody, the source of the absent-minded professor.
Yes. Somebody who was yotzei chutz l'tchum only has arba amot. Now he's going to have a miserable Shabbat. He's sitting there. Omelai Rav Chista, Rav Nachman. Rav Chista comes to Rav Nachman for Psak Halacha. Nechemya Talmidcha Sharui Betzar. Your poor Talmud, Nechemya. You shouldn't have given him such a tough sugya today. There he is, stuck out there. Omar lo, so Rav Nachman said, I'll tell you what to do. It's very simple. Aselo Mechitza Shav Bnei Adam. V'yikanes. Make a Mechitza on Shabbat. How do you do that? Get a bunch of guys from the Beit Midrash. Have them stand around him all the way back to the throne. And then he can walk, because after all, if we pass like Rabbi Gamliel, somebody who gets chutz tchum, and he comes into a deer v'sahar, for that meeting, we build a deer v'sahar, because what's the difference? Anyway, he wasn't in the mechitzot before Shabbat. We passed him by Rabbi Gamliel just yesterday. And this is a classic Rabbi Gamliel case. The case that we had in the Bikah before, of course, once again to remind you, there Rashi says we don't walk the entire Bikah when we build the mechitzot on Shabbat, because we only do this kulah where you only had arba amot, not if you had alpayim amot. But here the poor guy was stuck. So it's simple, we'll make mechitzot. If those mechitzot now enter into the area where the original tchum was, so it's like the case of the guy that needed to go to the bathroom, and we said, in pikeachu, he'll go to the bathroom towards his own tchum, once he gets into his tchum. So then he'll have no problem, and he'll be able to stay in the tchum. And therefore, over here, you do the same thing. You make it possible for him to be nichnas bereshut, and now he's back in his tchum. So Rav Nachman by Yitzchak was sitting in the back of Rava. This was in the Beit Midrash. Rava was facing Rav Nachman when Rav Nachman paskin this for Rav Chista. Rav Chista ran out to do what he could do for his chover Nechemya Bereda Rabbi Chaniloi. So Rav Nachman by Yitzchak whispers to Rava, "Psst, why could he be bailing Rav Chista? What was his problem? Like, why couldn't he figure this out himself?" When he comes to Rav Nachman, I mean, well, what's the big deal here? I mean, is the case he had enough guys? Ilayim have been a molu gavre askinan. Was he talking about where he had enough guys to make a full mechitza, back all the way to the tchum? So what was his question, and whether we pass him like Rav Nachman? In other words, can we rely on a mechitza where a person was not before Shabbat, but because he's stuck with arba amot, we rely on that mechitza such as the Dir V'Sahar case? So we're creating basically a Dir V'Sahar. And his question was, and maybe that was his question. Or perhaps he knew that, of course, halachas like Rabbi Gamliel, the reason that he asked Rabbi Nachman is because there weren't enough people to really make a mechitza all the way to the tchum. And his question was, we'll see later, Rabbi Eliezer holds that once you get within two amot of your tchum, you can already walk into your own tchum. We're going to be getting to this soon, the question of havla'at tchumim, where tchumim overlap. So maybe that's what he was asking, and Reb Nachman understood what the problem was. And his question was, can we rely on Reb Eliezer l'halakha to allow him to walk from outside of the tchum within two amot to his tchum? And of course his question was what to do because there weren't enough people. These are the guys with the Malo Gavri Askin. What you think we're talking about? We have enough guys here to go all the way to the mighty boiling. Why would he have asked Rav Nachman? Everybody knows that Omar Rav, Halacha Karev Gamliel, the Dir V'Sahar V'Sfina. We just talked about it yesterday. That everyone heard Rav Paskining, that Rav Gamliel, in the case of the Dir V'Sahar where the guy was taken out, Shalom Yida'ato, and you can rely on that. Why is this different than that? Now, Levadai B'Dalo Malo Gavri Askina. Clearly, he had another problem. His problem was that he couldn't get enough people to get up to the tchum. And therefore, the question he was asking Rav Nachman was whether Rabbi Eliezer, he wanted to know, can we rely on Rabbi Eliezer? And in fact, if you listen carefully to what Rav Nachman told him, it's clear that that was what happened. Dekanani. Because what did Rav Nachman say? Rav Nachman said, bring some guys, v'yikanes. What do you mean, v'yikanes? The point of bringing the guys was to have the mechitza, and he's there, not v'yikanes, he's there. So if he's adding that word, my v'yikanes, love below mechitza. In other words, make a mechitza, get him close enough to v'yikanes, and then let him go in. So Reb Nachman understood immediately there were two different issues that were involved here. Eisri Reb Nachman by
Yikanes. To relieve the tsar of one person,
yeah.
I have 100 people stuck in here.
No.
Why are they stuck? Oh, no. What do you mean? Obviously, these people had the tchum. They had made an Erev, or they had lived in a different place. I mean, otherwise, how could they go out?
Then they leave.
As a matter of fact, we're going to see later on that they couldn't even know what they were going there for. He told them, I got something private to tell you, or something like that. So, Eisri, the Nakubra, Yitzhak, the Rav. Nafal dofna lo yamid ba adam be'mavet kelim. If the dofna of the sukkah fell, you can't take a person to stand in for it on Yantav, or be'ma, or kelim, and make a mechitza on Yantav or Shabbat. V'lo yiskof et amita, even if you have a bed in front of the wall that collapsed. So you'll say, okay, so I'll just push the bed up like I usually do anyway. And then the bed will be now the basis of the sheet that I'll just spread over. And there I got myself a beautiful mechitza anyway. And he throws away asatim. You can't do any of this. Why not? You're not allowed to do this because you're building, even though it's an olah rai. It's similar to bonet. Understand how Reb Nachman gave a heter to make an entire building out of people. So then why can't I do that for my sukkah? Oh, Marley. So Rabbi said to him, yeah, okay, you know what? Atamrakli miha, you got this bride to make a question. I got another bride to show your bride. It's always something, you know? So I'll bring another bride. And it says the opposite. Oh, say Adam et chavir odofen, kidesh yo chavishta, bishan. This is a person can make his friend a wall for the sukkah in order for him to be able to eat or drink or sleep in the sukkah. Those are the yikar issues in the sukkah. V'yiskovet amita, or in a different case where you have a mate and that the sun is shining. So then you could put up the bed, spread the sadin over the bed, which in effect creates a mechitza to prevent the sun from shining on the mate. Kedesh lo tipol chama ala mate, or ala ochlin, they're going to be ruined by the heat. Anyway, so, is it okay now that Reb Nachman said that he should do it? But, I mean, kashna, that Rashi learns, kashna dadi is a separate issue. What's the Gemara is asking, lamaisa, how to explain? Yeah, I mean, normally, and the Ritva actually explains it this way, and therefore, Rabbi continues, so, kashina adari, what are you going to say? But Rashi has mafarish that over here, because the way he's understanding Gemara, we don't answer it in a way that makes it consistent, that Reb Nachman, is going according to this. So anyways, what are you adding kashina adari? You're telling me it's a machloketanayim, he's going like that. But lamaisa, I mean, what's the pshat? We know that there are two such shitas. We've had them often before. Lo kasha harav Eliezer harabanan detnan, which we had before, twice we had in Shabbos, and we had in Sukkah. Pkaka chalom, here's the famous case, where we had, again, the windows in those days weren't quite as sophisticated, so they would have the piece that you fit into the hole. The window was a hole, it wasn't glazed usually. And the question is that going to be a binyan? If you put a piece into a hole in the wall, that goes to the outside. Yeah, except it's not connected. So it's basically a piece that covers a hole. So it's called the pekak, basically. Fits into the chalon. So Rebbe Eliezer says, if this pekak is tied next to the wall, and it's hanging, it's not dragging on the ground, so it's not similar to pick something up and being bona on Shabbat. So, okay, fine, so then pokekimbo. Vim lav, ain't pokekimbo. But you can't stomp pick it up to put it in, even though the oil already exists, you're being only mosi. Yes, but nonetheless, you're picking it up, and for all intents and purposes, you're doing it out for the first time. The Chachamim omrim, benkach benkach pokekimbo. The Chachamim say, this is no problem over here. The oil already exists. You're being mosif on an oil with something that you're going to take off anyway. So basically, it's an oil aray, and it's tosefet. So you can do it. So that's the machloket, apparently. So if you hold that there's a problem even on creating an oil aray, like Reb Eliezer says, no, you can't pick it up and put it in. So then over here, you wouldn't be able to allow your friend to stand there, what's the problem? But I'm sorry, that's not a good explanation, because it's not true. There's no machloket about an initial creation of an oil arai. Everybody's motive, you can't do that. The question over here was that you had an already existing wall, which was the case over there, you had an opening in the wall, you want to close the opening. Fine, that's a machloket. Over there, Reb Eliezer and Amosifim, you can't even add. So therefore, you can't put the pekak in the chalon. Ein mosifim even on Yom Tov, kosher can answer for Mar b'Shabbat. Whereas the Chachamim oimrim mosifim b'Shabbat. Yeah, it's okay to add even on Shabbat, and obviously on Yom Tov. But over here, the case is the guy's in the middle of the field, and you're building a building around him. I know who would have been matter that. You're right. All right, so let's see now. Maybe like this. El Elokash. The difference between the two cases is perhaps like this. Ha, Karabi Meir. Ha, Karabi Yehuda. We know that there's a machloket as to whether particular types of materials are kosher or dofen, particularly including a behemah. Tetanya. Asa'al behema dofen the sukkah. Somebody now makes, he has a problem with one of his walls. He makes the animal, and an animal can easily walk away. He's going to eat there as long as that animal is there. So Rabbi Meir posel. So Gemara over there says, essentially, Sarashi learns the sukkah that we're going according to the question over here of Shema Tivrach. Frankly, that it's going to walk away. Okay, so Rabbi Meir says you can't therefore use it as a machitza because it's a machitza that's going to just walk away. That's not a machitza. The Rabbi Yehuda machshir. So Rabbi Meir, who says it's possible, so Alma lav machitzahi. So in other words, what Rabbi Meir is saying over there because of Shema Tivrach. So that's okay. I understand Shema Tivrach. I mean, the question over here, of course, is you're using people. That's a completely different issue. So here, even though there he says it's possible, hachashari, so then by the same token, in this case it would be mutter, the lav mideka avid. In other words, since in the case of the sukkah over here, if you're putting up a behemah, that behemah is not a kosher mechitza, so what are you doing wrong? The only thing that would be usher to do wrong would be to create a sukkah that would then be usable. Creating a sukkah that would then be usable. So then it would be similar to tikkun. Mashenken, if there's no tikkun of the sukkah, you have only a simple issue of ol haroi. Are you making an ol haroi? It's not going to be kosher to eat it anyway. So if that's the case, that's mutter. Now, this is how Rashi learns. As Rashi himself points out, I mean, this is a little bit silly to believe that this is the answer, because, I mean, after all, it says beferush, don't make the mechitza kedesh yochal v'yishtev. I mean, it's talking about using it as a kosher sukkah. I mean, how can we say it's going to be mayor and it's not a kosher sukkah, and that's the only reason that you are allowed to do it? And that says Rashi, hey, look, there's a lot of problems with this teretz. Anyway, it isn't really a serious teretz, that we could have attacked it in 15 different ways. And we're going to, anyway, we're going to show you that this is absurd. So, fine, so just hold on to your horses a little bit. But for a moment, we're going to toy with the idea that the only problem over here is the tikkun of the sukkah. There's no problem in asiyat ohel. And therefore, over here, the difference between the two brayot is whether is it a kosher sukkah or not. If it's a kosher sukkah, you have another problem. You have a problem of the tikkun of the sukkah. We're over there, since you're making it a kosher machitza, so then it's considered to be a binyan, I understand. That's tikkun mona, the ultimate tikkun. And the other case, the other brayot that says that it's mutter, it's talking about you want to have some privacy, but you're not going to have a kosher sukkah anyway, so you're using a behemah, according to Rabbi Meir. A behemah isn't useful, so therefore you didn't do anything. So, for sure, the lav midika avi. Therefore, since the only problem is you're making it all right, fine. So you're making it all right, but you didn't do anything for the sukkah. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, who holds the gabi the din of sukkah, that an animal is a kosher mechitza, so according to him, you're not allowed to make it because then you're fixing your sukkah. So Rabbi Yehuda, the kambachir hatam amad is a good mechitza for the sukkah, and therefore halcha asar. So when it comes to the shaila of the heter of making it on Shabbat, he says it's also on it. Wait a minute over here. The case wasn't the case of behemah. The case which said behemah, or adam, or kalim. Well, what kind of answer is this? Ima nishamet el rabbi meir behemah. Adam the kalim nishamet like what? An adam who has dat and can be asked to stay here and not won't run away, and kalim that generally have a problem in running away. I mean, why in the world would your answer about the behemah have anything to do with explaining the difference between the cases of the behemah and the kalim? What kind of answer is that? So over here, the Tana says Adam Mekalim also. If Adam Mekalim, then Rabbi Meir would hold that it's a kosher sukkah. And you're saying if you, oh no, a kosher sukkah wouldn't have been matir. That's a different problem because it's a real tikkun. So then, so how are you explaining? The two. Besides which, what you're assuming over here is that if the only problem is the making of the ohel, which is not a kosher ohel for a sukkah, just a problem of ohel arayt, then for sure it's okay. What happened over here? We started with the Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, in which we've concluded that nobody holds you can make an Ohel HaChatzira. So in order to avoid that question, you came and said, oh, yeah, okay, forget about that Machlokas. All right, I forgot about it for a minute. Now you're telling me, no, nah, it's talking about over here the old question of Rabbi Meir, whether a behemoth is kosher for a sukkah. But what about the problem of making the old? Fine, we're back with the problem of making an old. What did we do about the machlokas for Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim? I don't understand. I mean, I can put it under the carpet only for a little bit of time. I mean, now I'm back. So tell me, Rabbi Meir represents now a new shita in this issue. In other words, he's not going like his Rabbi, Rabbi Eliezer. He's not going like the Chachamim. He's not going like anybody. He's got a new shita. Is that what you're saying? Rabbi Meir Ali ben Amman. I mean, so then who was he paskening like? He was paskening like Rabbi Eliezer. I mean, that's obviously ridiculous. I mean, Rabbi Eliezer holds you can't even be Mosim. Ella what? He's going according to the Rabbanan. We just explained that even the Rabbanan who allow you to put in the Pekaka Chalon is only because you're being Mosif on an existing binyan. Where did they say that you're allowed to make a dolphin? Which is l'chatchila. I don't understand. So what did you help? This is what Rashi said before. The whole answer was ridiculous, basically. So what, we have to point out that particular problem. These problems aren't problems. Okay, so the Gemara is going to bring him gradually to recognize that he didn't really help us very much. Now let's look at it again, the way we did it originally. Our problem is, can we put up a wall? Both cases, and both of these brayot could be going like the Rabbanan. The reason that there's no question about kelim is one of the brayot that says that the kelim is not okay. And the other brayot that said that kelim is okay. Lo kasha. Ha bedofen shlishit and ha bedofen rebiit. If you're going to have a sukkah of only two walls, that sukkah is useless. So if you put up now your third wall, then you're actually making it an oil that's usable. And there, of course, the Rabbanan said you can't make an oil on Shabbat. So it's not hosafah. It's binyan l'chatchila because the sukkah is so defined. Fine. The other case where it says it's mutter to use now these kelim or your mita is talking about a fourth wall where anyway you have an oil that's standing and now you're doing hosafah. You want to have a private place. Okay, fine. So put a behemoth there. What's the problem? Put a kelim there. What's the problem? It's talking about tosefet. It's not talking about the right to eat. It's talking about being mosif on an olah rayah. Dekanani. Take a look at the language of the braita. The braita says, where it's asering, it says, nafal dofna. What's that dofna? Nafal dofen. What dofna means the dofen that made it usable. It's dofen collapsed. Oh my God, what am I going to do now? So there, the reason that it's usher is because you're creating an oil. Whereas the other case didn't say nafal dofna. It says you can make it a dofen. That's all it says. But it's not the dofen, not the meaningful dofen.
Why connect it to sukkah?
Well, I don't know.
So it has nothing to do with sukkah.
It has everything to do with sukkah. It's only the fact that the sukkah is defined as a usable oil this way that makes it a CSO from nothing.
I'm talking about the
Revit. Yeah, so the Enochinami, it's contrasting where it makes a difference for a sukkah and where it doesn't make a difference for a sukkah. Nothing to do with sukkah. So it's a tosefet. The Rabbanu Ramatir, that way everything is clear. Everything is clear. It's clear as mud. I mean, what are we going to do with the question? I understand the case of the Mita, you can say that it's talking about a dolphin with the eat. But the case of the Adam, you can't possibly say that because the language of the Brayta that's Matir Adam, it says Kidesh Yochal V'yishteh V'yisham. Now what the heck does that mean? It means the guy didn't have a kosher sukkah and he can ask his friend to stand there in order to be able to eat. How do you explain that? So Adam Adam Kasha, how do you get away with an answer like this? No, it's not Adam, not no Kasha. It's also not a problem. Because what we could say is that the Brayta that Asers is talking about where the guy knows that he's just put there to stand the shame of somebody. He said, listen, I got to use my sukkah, do me a favor. Stand here for an hour so that, you know, I'll give you a safer, you can learn. You can just see it happening all the time. Guy walking down the street sees a cup of yeshiva. I need a sukkah. Maybe you'll stand for a couple hours. We'll give you some sort to stand and learn. Okay? That's awesome. That's a problem. So Khan Ladat. If it was done Ladat over there, it's awesome. Because that's said, oh, okay, we're gonna do that kind of thing. People will come already to make an old with something else. And Khan Shalomidat. So Mashenkin, the other case is where Shalomidat over there, what are we gonna say? That it's similar to Binyan. I mean, come on, people standing around is Xeramish and Binyan. It's not similar to Binyan. The problem is that if he knows, he'll say, but technically it's a din of asiyas v'chitzah, so why should I be able to use kalim? And they'll come to, but if he doesn't know, and it's an isra in doing it, there's certainly no isra. I mean, it's a joke. What kind of binyan is this? People standing around. The people, the bochrim that you asked, they thought they were there for desserts. They thought they were there for shema brachas. By the time you say it, that's kind of a base. I have to have a minyan for shema brachas. I have to sit down. Kan shalom itas. Okay, but so it's all very nice. Now you really got us into trouble because, I mean, the case of now you've explained it in such a way that it's not a machlokas. So now how did Rav Nachman was matur? What did he tell the guys? He told them, okay, my boys have a shema brachas out of the field. They must have been coming ladat, and he said it was mutter. So you haven't helped us because the case over here shouldn't have been done. So ask the more of a Rabbi Nachman Bereid, Rabbi Chani Loi. Now that you've explained the brayot so nicely. It wasn't much different to do what he did because it was a dat having. No, it was shalom dat. He didn't tell them what they're coming for. He told them, you know, they do the daglanut here in the Rova.
Yes.
You never see the kids practicing how to march with the dagels on Shabbat in preparation for Yom Ha'atzmaut. He told them, come, we'll do a little daglanut practice. So he had them stand up, and then meanwhile they got the kids just built there to walk. They had no idea what they were doing. But wait, Reb Chisda knew. Because Reb Chisda was the planner, and Reb Nachman had told him. But so, I mean, he was standing there, no? So how could they use Reb Chisda? So Reb Chisda knew the Dada, Reb Chisda Shalom and Aminyan. They didn't include him in the Daglanut. Yeah, he was the guy that stands up there waving his hand.
Very beautiful.
Okay. So what happened once these guys, I don't know if it's the same company that puts up the chuppas, but anyway, these were the preparations for the Chassan Kalman. We had the guy that brought in the Hadassim, was the case we had earlier. So anyway, what happened, actually Rabbeinu Hananel's gear says that they needed to bring Hadassim. So they had Hadassim, but it was outside of it was in Rosh Hashanah. So what they did is they made a machitza. They made a machitza b'nei Adam, and they went and they were able to bring in the mayim and argirsa from Rishut HaRabim into Rishut HaYachid. And they told people, okay, everybody stand, and now we have Rishut HaYachid. Look at that, amazing. Presto. Nagdino Shmuel. Shmuel put them at the cherem. What kind of business is that? Imam Rushalom idat, Yom Ruladat. Look at this. You give a psak, you give these guys a finger, and they take a hand already. So now they're carrying from Rishut HaRabim to Rishut HaYachid. Hanu Ziki da Avishadim Baristika de Mechuza. Now, Rava had left some ziki. These are the nodot, you know, the water bags, the skins, the canteens, and they had been left out in the square in Mechuzah through Rishus Arabi. And so the shamoshim of Rava, what they did was Bahadi Das Rava. I mean, Pirkei. When Rava was coming back from giving a drasha on Shabbat, there were hundreds of people who were standing around the area. Everybody comes out of shul and they're walking with Rava. So meanwhile, you have a mechitza. Because, I mean, no matter how you look at it, there's always people all around. So his shamashim carried it in out of the Rishus HaRabim, which is no longer Rishus HaRabim. So Alina Nehalei. So they brought it in. The Shabbat Achrit. They said the next week, they figured, boy, that was great. We might as well just turn this into Rishus HaYochid, because all you got to do is press the button, you get Rishus HaYochid. So the Shabbat Achrit, the Alina, they wanted to do that again. He told them, you're not allowed to do it, because once it would get around, so then it would already be ladat, by definition, because everybody knows what's going on. And so he said, you can't do it. But Lamaisa, in particular circumstances where such things happen, Levi, for instance, had left Tevin outside, and Ayulotivna. Ziri had left Aspasta outside. They did the same thing for him. Rib Shimi Bar Chiya had water that had to be brought in. As long as it wasn't for Tzurak of Hu'a, and there were a lot of people that had come from this year, it really does turn into a Shita Yafit.
It's
too late now.
That's the way it works.
unless Abishash is willing. Okay. Misha. Somebody had the right to go out of the tomb. We have cases like this, either for emergencies, let's say an area is under attack, or Magen David Adom, or he needs to go for Eidut HaChodesh. There's many cases where we remater you to be Yotze Chutz HaTchum. So he goes out to Rishut, and as he's going, Amrulo Kvar Naaseh Maaseh, it's done. Oh, the guy was already saved, he's in the hospital, whatever, somebody else came for the Eidut HaChodesh, and that's a particular issue over there that the mission discusses. So here he is now, in the middle of nowhere. Yesh lo alpayim amalachol ruach. In this case, since he was Yotzei Berushas, he is given a tchum of alpayim amah from that place. And if he is, and it sounds like it's saying, if he's still in his tchum, then it's as if he didn't go out. What do you mean? If he didn't go out, it's as if he didn't go out. That the Gemara is going to ask, what is that supposed to mean? Kol hayotzim lahatzil, chozrim l'makoman, which seems to be a complete contradiction to what you said before. Any, as long as you went out in order to save somebody, you're allowed to go back. All right, so let's first examine what possible meaning could there be to those words, that if you're still in your tchum, it's as if you didn't leave your tchum. Yes, as a matter of fact, but we'll get to it tomorrow. So, ma'im haya betoch atchum ki ilu lo yatsa. What is that supposed to mean? Omar Rabba, what it's saying is like this. Imaya betoch tchum shelo. It really is saying that if he never left his original tchum, then it's ki ilu lo yatsa betoch beito dami. In other words, you might think that he gets, it says he gets wherever he was told. Okay, so now, he was told at the end of 2000 Amot, before he walked out, wait, you don't got need to leave. Because it's already taken care of. Ah, so then maybe he gets his tchum there, and now he has 2000 Amot further to walk. So, no, it's kilu lo yetzah mitoch beito. If he never left his tchum, then it's, he still has the original tchum of his house. Isn't that obvious, Pshita? No, because ma detema ova karaka. I might have thought that since the Chachomim gave a special dispensation in this case, and they said, someone who leaves the tchum is allowed to take the place wherever he is. Because he's going for this dvar mitzvah. He's a member of Mada. Okay, so this guy left. The fact that he happened to have stopped while he's still in his tchum doesn't change what was given to him. What was given to him was the right to be kona shvisa wherever he stops. So just because he stops in his tchum, therefore he shouldn't get a new malkum shvisa, he should get an additional malkum shvisa. Now he could continue to walk as if he had made an Erev there. Another, let him walk another 2,000 Amot, because he was our car. Therefore, it's come to him. No, it's as if he's still at home, because it was only in the Yetziya Mitoch HaTchum that they gave you this special Mokum Shvisa. But if you never left your Chumash, you get a different Mokum Shvisa. Kamash Melan. Reb Shimi Bar Chiya says, that's not what it means. What it means is, and this is the issue that Moshe Baruch raised yesterday that I promised we'd be discussing, it's a reference to the question of overlapping Tchumim. That's what it is. Hachi Kama. Im hayu tchumim shetatulu lo chachamim muvla'im betoch hatchum shelo ki'ilu lo yatsa mitchumo. The Mishnah is saying like this. He did leave his tchum. When it says ki'ilu lo yatsa, you would think, aha, so if he left his tchum, so now he's already more than 2,000 amot away from his home, he can't go back to his house. No, his new tchum, as long as it wasn't 2,000 amot away from the original tchum, has an overlapping area. Once it has an overlapping area with his original tchum, he can continue to walk through that entire area. And now, he can walk all the way back home. So therefore, it was ki'ilu lo yatsa. And therefore, if they give him, if the new alpayim amah give him the right to go back into his original tchum, then he can go back to his house and continue to walk on the other side too. So he gets now this whole addition. That's great.
So he'd be 3,900.
That's right. If his tchum is within his
tchum,
then it's his any go home. So now, what's the machlokes? But Micah Miflagin, because I mean, this is certainly a much more meaningful and innovative way of reading the Mishnah. I mean, the other one, what did you think? But why not learn this? And what they're arguing is whether this is true. Reb Shimi Bar Chiya holds that overlapping tchumim indeed allow you to retain your original tchum. Umar Savar Lav Milti. Whereas the reason that Rabba wouldn't say this pshat is because he says there ain't no such animal. If you have overlapping tchumim, you could still only walk up until the point where you're allowed to walk. Why should you now suddenly get your previous tchum? Now Rashi learns that Rava's psak, therefore, would be connected what we said earlier about the guy who's allowed to go to the bathroom. We said, if he's a pikeach, let him go, and then he'll go to the bathroom in his own tchum, and once he's back in his own tchum, he can now walk as far as he wants. So Rashi sees the two as being interrelated. Once you have the right to go into your tchum, say, now have your tchum. Mashenket, according to Rava, if he holds that havlat chumim is meaningless, you shouldn't be able to go any further, go to the bathroom, but you just need to stay in the bathroom. So what's it going to do you?
Well, that was the case we only had our bombs, right?
Yeah, so what? But you were given an extension of your arvamo to get to the bathroom, whatever it takes.
But it's nothing to do with havlat chumim.
Yes, the same thing, because that's the extension. By the way, the other case of Rebbe Eliezer would be the same thing. Rebbe Eliezer holds, since you're two amot, an extension of your personal space, And he holds atab emsa. We said that's a machlokas, whether it's four amot in all directions or whether you're in the middle of four amot. He holds it's four amot. So if you're not two amot out of the tchum, so you, now you have a havala'a, you're four amot with the original tchum. So according to him, you could still walk in. That was the question that we wanted to know for Bichur Chista, wanted to know if that was okay. So it's also the same idea. So as Rashi sees all these as being mitveachat, if there's an overlap, do you get your rights? Tosfos says it's not connected. Why should we say he may hold of the Narda also? Because over there, the point is he is back in his tchum and is no longer limited by his arba amot. So okay, so once now he was Kona's original tchum, but over here, if you're Kona another tchum, over there you didn't have a tchum, which is basically what David was saying, right? Over there you didn't have a tchum, so you had your arba amot. But over here you have a tchum, says Rava, if you have a tchum, who gives you a right to be ochre one from one tchum into the other tchum, just because originally that was your tchum? So why should that be meaningful? So therefore it's lav milti. Only Abaya l'Rabba. So Abaya asked Rabba, how can you say that Havla'at Chumim is meaningless? Let me ask you a question. Let's first consider a theoretical case. A man lives in an underground bunker. Now this bunker is actually, before the bombs dropped, was actually what the ancients used to have as they called subways. These were places that, trains that moved underground. I know they say it's a legend, but there's indications that there actually were such things. This guy lives in one of those bunkers. And it's a very long bunker. It's 4 kilometers long. Now, one day they test for radioactivity, and they figure they have enough time to go and collect things, and they're going to want to walk, but it's Shabbos. So they go out the door from the east side of the bunker, and they want to walk in such a way that they can go back in on the west side of the bunker. But that's 4 kilometers. Now the Shaila is, let me ask you, if a guy leaves the east side entrance, is he allowed to walk 2,000 amas in all directions?
Yes.
If he leaves the west side, can he walk 2,000 amas in each direction?
Yes.
So, but now you're going to say, if he leaves the east side and he's walking on top, well, he's going chutzutchum. Because he's going to, in order to get to the other side, he's got to walk over 2,000 amas from the door. How's he going to get back to the other entrance? In what they used to claim it was a subway station. I had that. But whatever. Into wherever that entrance was, how can he get there? He's going to go close to the home. I'll tell you why, because we ain't crazy. But the point is, since he has 2,000 amot on this side, and he has 2,000 amot on that side, and they meet, so now he can walk the entire thing. I mean, if you don't think that, so what you're going to say is, in order for a guy to get to the other side, he has to walk back 2,000 amot, go back into the subway station, walk all the way to the other side in, because that's all 4 hours to him, come out the west side, and then he can now get out in order to go the other side. I mean, that's crazy.
Because it's Marv Bahalicha, what's the problem?
No, it's that we have such a Kabbalah that this is how we deal with Marot. That's what Abaya is talking. That's how I must understand. In a way, Abaat Lot is, but what you don't hold, that of La'at Chumim Milti. Let's see, let's say that a guy with Shabbat bin Ma'ara, where in the Ma'ara you have Arbaat Alafim, V'al gagah pachot mi'arbat alafim amma. Now let's say now the area in which the yitziyah on top is a little bit less than 4,000 amot. So there's an amma of overlapping area.
It's a bell case.
So lo nimtza mahalakat kulav chutzal alpayim amma. Can't you walk the entire thing? Can't you go out, walk on the roof, so to speak, or on the street that was above the subway, and come back down? Why not? On Marley, so Rabbi said to him, yes, my dear Talmud, absolutely, you can do that.
But it has nothing to do with
Havlat Chumim. Because it does, but I mean, it's a different type of Havlat Chumim. V'lo shani lecha bein hecha de shavat ba'avir mechitzot b'ba'od yom. Be'hecha de lo shavat ba'avir mechitzot b'ba'od yom. And understand what you're saying. Over there, the first minute that the guy is in the subway state, in the subway itself, he's in the Ma'arab, before Shabbos. So he's kona the right to walk 2,000 amot here, and 2,000 amot there.
From each entrance.
I mean, so he had essentially two tchumim, the same way everybody in a city can walk out from one side of the city 2,000 amot, and there's 50 miles of city, doesn't count. It's all 4 amot, and then he can walk out 2,000 amot on the other side. So fine. That means the katchila, he defined these mechitzot as all one thing for him, and that included the havla'a. So obviously, he can walk the top two, because that's what he was going to the rights to originally. Mashenkin, in this case, we're talking about Shabbos. It was a normal Shabbos. He sits there, he lights his candle. All of a sudden, his beeper goes off. He runs with the ambulance, and now he stops outside of the tchum. He's 3 kilometers now away from his house. And you're telling me it's okay. After all, it's all muvla. I mean, it's two completely different tchumim, which he didn't have rights to before. Why, in that case, would we say havla'ah? It's not one tchum, it's two tchum. Mm-hmm. Where you were kona the right to that tchum before Shabbos, it's all one tchum. But we're going to say, let's pretend it's two different areas. You can walk this way because of that entrance, you can walk that way because of this entrance, which means this entire area is essentially your mokum shrisa. You may find Richie's spirit there. Send regards. No. So therefore, there's no comparison between the cases. It's understood that on the moment of your kinyan, Makom Shmita, we take into consideration. Where does this Makom Shmita allow you to walk? If it allows you to walk, and for all intents and purposes, it's all one thing. Mashenkin, where it's by definition not all one thing. You had one tchum in one place, the Rabbana gave you a new tchum in another place. Why does an overlap change anything? Said Abaya, okay, I'll bring you another case, all right? Oh, it's not. How about the Reb Eliezer case? Reb Eliezer says that if you're only two amot outside of your tchum, you can go in. But if you're three amot outside of the tchum, you can't go in, right? Now, explain to me, where did this come from? Out of nowhere. This clearly is my love, Reb Eliezer Lataime. This is Reb Eliezer Lishitato, who says that when we give a person four amot, he is in the middle of those four amot. Right? So he's got two in each direction. And he's saying, as long as you're not beyond that two, you can go in. I'm sorry, why can you go in? Who gave you that to go in? Oh, because it's muvla. Some of your personal space is in that tchum. Once it's muvla, a muvla gives you a right to the whole other space. No. So I'm the same thing over here. You have a muvla. You were given, in that case, you weren't given a different tchum. It's worse. You've been given only arba amot. So nonetheless, it's okay. So va'arba amot, the avalei rabbon, and kiman de mivla and damu. It's as if those arba amot are muvla in the beginning of your tchum. V'komar yikanes. That is considered to be the same as this case. And you're going to disagree with the Tannaim? Which of course is obviously impossible since he was a few hundred years older than him. But therefore some change begins at the Rabba Barbar Chanin La Abaye. Wait. You're asking on Rebbe from Rebbe Eliezer. I mean, the Chachamim maybe disagree with Rebbe Eliezer. I mean, why, how can we Raya from here? Oh, yes, I am. I heard it from his own mouth in Shir. He said that Ad kan lo pligi rabbanan alei de Reb Eliezer, ela ledvar harishut, aval ledvar mitzvah modi lei. He himself says that the case where someone needed to do a mitzvah, you can rely on havla'an. Obviously, the case in our Mishnah was that he had rishut to go out, so he was going out the dvar mitzvah, and there is where Rabbi wants to say that it's not useful to have avla, so you have to come up with this cheap shot in the Mishnah that it's talking about something that I would have known anyway. When he really didn't live his tchum, now I'd like to hear what Rob is going to say about this. Yes, I do ask him from Reb Eliezer. And he's got nothing to say. And that closes the subject.